It's an election year. Just send the nuke and finish us off already. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
Boy, isn't that the truth. I'm so glad you're joining us today. Uncle Milty, how are you?
I'm great.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad you're sitting over there right now.
I went in early.
You did,
and they took me in early.
Oh, so he had to go over to the...
I had an MRI today.
Yeah, and he's corona-free, just letting you know. So I'm so glad you're here. Thank you.
You know, it's funny.
You were going to miss today, so I'm actually glad you're here.
I was carrying my oxygen.
Uh-huh.
But when you walk in, they make you wash your hands.
Okay.
And then pick your oxygen bag up.
That's about how much sense all this is making. You know what I mean? It's interesting. Why doesn't anyone ever ask if it's so dire right now? Why aren't the post offices closed? Why aren't stores closed? See what I mean? It's pick and choose, little pick and choose. You know, it seems to kind of go after the small business, the mom and pop, because I know the corporations, they can still exist, but it's just, it's sad. And so in today's show, we're going to be talking a little bit about earthquakes. I've got Professor Ron Harris, who's going to be a real treat from BYU. It's going to be awesome to hear what he has to say, given the fact that in this local hour of Utah, we had an earthquake that rattled a lot of people. Just recently. So we're going to be talking about that. And then also, just to let you know, in the national show today, boy, do I have some information. I've got some information from some of the experts on the economy. You're going to know what is going on with the stock market today. We're going to talk a little bit about how they're going to be paying everybody in from Washington, which is you're just not going to believe some of the stuff I've got. And then also some of the stuff from the bills, how they're restructuring money worldwide is very interesting right now. And you know how we've been talking about digital currency and, you know, are we at war with Iran right now? All this stuff is now starting to come out and everyone's sending it to me going, oh my gosh, you guys have been talking about this for 3 weeks. I know. I'm like, I know. So, so we weren't wrong. So there's a lot going on and it's not exactly COVID. It's a lot of other stuff going on and we really need to know. And it's going to be kind of a scary show in a little bit of a way because it is scary. But I would rather know and be able to prepare than not know. And I think, you know, for this hour, I want to concentrate on earthquakes because it's kind of like the liner coming into the show. You know, just send a nuke and get it over with. Well, send an earthquake. I mean, what's coming next? I remember thinking, what are we going to have next? Locusts? I mean, this is getting insane. So I cannot wait to talk to him because this will be great. Let's move ahead. Let's go. Professor Ron Harris, how are you?
I'm great.
Thanks, I'm so
Kate,
glad
you invited me to come to your show.
Ah, you bet. I'm so glad to have you. And let me just tell everybody, boy, do you have a resume. Professor of Geology, Brigham Young University, presently Associate Professor of Geology at West Virginia University. I mean, I could go on and on all the way back, my gosh, decades, where you have sort of been in the know. You've been on top of the research, on top of what's going on, and I cannot wait to hear your take on what just happened on the Wasatch Front, and what are we looking at in the future? Because I think it's been on everybody's minds because we know stuff's coming in Utah, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. So tell me a little bit about what your thoughts were about the earthquake last week. Because it rattled people. I mean, this was a pretty good shocker here in Utah.
Yeah, it was a wake-up call for all of us, a shot over the bow. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, it was the perfect earthquake because it woke everybody up and reminded them that we live on a very dangerous active fault, but there were no casualties. I mean, I come from, you know, being associated with earthquakes and tsunamis that have killed over 200,000 people in one event. And, you know, I forecast an event in Indonesia that was that large in 2004.
Oh, my gosh, I remember.
We published a paper just a couple of years before it actually occurred. So when it happened, you know, all the news agencies converged on the geology department trying to figure out where I was. And I went there and they stuck a microphone in my face and said, you know, why didn't the people listen to you?
Oh, man.
And I, I just broke down. I couldn't talk. I was so emotional because that wasn't the story. The true story was, look, I told the wrong people. I told the U.S. State Department. I told the Indonesian government. But nobody took what we discovered down to the level of the people who were actually in harm's way. If they just would have known when the earthquake shook that they needed to go to high ground, it would have saved thousands. I mean, tens of thousands of lives. It's just that one bit of knowledge. And I see the same kind of lack of awareness along the Wasatch Front. I mean, we've done surveys with people all along the Wasatch Front, and we find out that more than 50% of them don't have any idea that they even live on an active fault. Or a higher majority don't even know what to do before the earthquake or after. A lot of them think that a 72-hour kit's going to save them during an earthquake. But that has nothing to do with saving yourself from an earthquake.
Jeez.
So what is the meaning of getting ready for an earthquake? That's what we really need to make clear.
Yes, I totally agree with you. Okay, so when you saw, so we've been hearing about this for quite a while. We've had, you know, disaster, you know, response teams, you know, trying to work out all the bugs for years. Remember, you know, every single year we have all the drills and so forth. And what have you been saying to people about what will happen here? I mean, what are, because I know you forecasted what happened in Indonesia. What about here? What about Utah?
Right. Well, we've got a similar forecast, not just me, but the Utah Geological Survey, the United States Geological Survey. There's a lot of people working on the Wasatch Fault.
Right.
And they all say the same thing, and that is that we already have enough energy stored on the Wasatch Fault to produce a magnitude 7 to 7.3 earthquake.
Whoa.
And that's going to be 240 times the energy of what we experienced last week.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh my.
Wow. Wow.
And the problem is that the epicenter, like the one last week, is going to be right where the built environment is, right where most of the people live. Oh, it's not going to be an epicenter off in the desert somewhere.
Right,
it's going to be right where the population is the most dense.
Oh, man.
And where we have hundreds of thousands of unreinforced masonry buildings that will collapse and be damaged. So, I mean, I know COVID's been a little bit of an inconvenience, but it's
nothing compared to this. Yeah.
Like what we'll experience. I mean, people will think of Utah as before the big earthquake or after the big earthquake.
It'll
big of an event.
Now, I know you're not a person that I would say, well, what's your prediction? When will this happen? Because I know that's hard to answer. But are you saying would you think in the next 5 years, 10 years, 5 years, 2 years?
Well, no, this is the problem, right? There's no way, just like a virus, you don't have any idea knowing when it's going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you do is you're wise and you prepare,
right?
Like as if it could happen at any moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the meaning of preparedness is. It's what you do before the earthquake and what you do during the earthquake that's going to save lives.
Okay.
Whereas most of the money and most of the focus is on emergency management and all that stuff that happens after, which the earthquake, when it occurs, most of the people die from the falling objects during the earthquake. Right?
Sure,
and afterwards, it's just a matter of, you know, convenience, of helping people to get the water they need or whatever that is. So we're putting our money into the wrong things.
Okay. All right.
What we really need to do is the first thing that we can all do, which is very simple, is to secure all the non-structural hazards in our homes.
Okay.
Which means like things that can fall. And you know, I've published some YouTube videos that tell you how to do that. It takes less than $50 and 2 to 3 hours. And then you can be at peace, right? You know that nothing within your home is going to cause a hazard. And a lot of times it's non-structural hazards which cause the deaths and the injuries.
Okay.
And that's something that we can fix. We can fix in our office space and we can fix it.
So shoring it up, maybe getting that sucker to the wall as fast as you possibly. I mean, you know, anchored, making sure it's anchored. Correct?
Televisions are a great example.
Yeah, television. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Lots of things. You just need to go around your house and ask yourself, when that thing flies, is it going to hurt somebody?
Yeah.
Because
right?
It'll fly, especially with a magnitude 7. It'll fly. Magnitude 7 will shake for minutes.
Wow. So
right? And it'll shake so hard you won't be able to walk or run. And a lot of people think that they should run to a triangle of life or they should run to a door jamb or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's just not an option. It's the worst thing you could possibly do.
Ooh,
is try to run somewhere.
Okay.
So the best thing is just to duck, cover, and hold on.
Okay.
And then when the shaking stops, evacuate, because there's likely going to be strong aftershocks. And one of the aftershocks might be just, you know, the last straw that causes things to actually collapse.
That's good to know.
And so you don't want to think that you can run. This is the kind of thing that we need to reinforce in schools. We need to have earthquake alarms in all the schools. And the teacher just needs to go up and hit it with a fingernail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll go off. And the students need to get used to that sound, because it's a very different response than a fire drill. We always do fire drills. Earthquake drills are much more important. How many schools have burned down?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, very, very few, if any, right? Whereas an earthquake is a regional thing. It's not just one school. It's the entire valley.
Okay, because
if I was a parent, I would buy a $25 earthquake alarm and make sure it was in my kid's classroom.
Okay.
And explain how it works, right?
Sure.
I mean, it could save so many lives. Because it gives you a few seconds before the main waves, the main shock waves arrive that do the damage.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids will not be surprised, because that's the thing that causes the most casualties, is when people don't know what to do and they panic.
Okay. All right. So with about a minute, because when we come back, I want to talk about the other things that you do, like in Indonesia, you know, go to higher ground and all of the advice that you have. I want to come back and talk about that, if you will. And is there such a thing as being overdue? I mean, do you hit a I know I grew up in California, so that's all we ever heard about was the big one coming.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so are we overdue in Utah? I mean, should it have happened? Did you think it was going to happen years ago?
Well, nobody would have been surprised if it would have happened years ago.
Okay.
And no geologist or seismologist would be surprised if that happened today.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because of the probabilities. You know, usually there's 12 to 1,300 years between major seismic events on each segment. And usually there's an earthquake along the Wasatch Fault every 325 years. Well, there hasn't been one on the Wasatch Fault for a long time.
Okay.
For 400 years. So if you think of it that way, well, maybe we're overdue. But the problem is that the earthquake cycle is never the same. And so there's faults that could be ready to slip at any moment, and we wouldn't know it.
Okay. All right.
When is the wrong question?
Ah, gotcha. Okay. When we come back, I've noticed a lot of friends have sent me an uptick in what they're calling movement. So I want to get your take on that, because I don't know if that's just every year you're going to see that or if it's unusual in the last few years. And then also, we're going to talk about what to do. Most important, what to do. And I'll be right back with Professor Ron Harris. He has some great YouTubes on this. Professor Ron Harris from BYU. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down. I feel my heart start to tremble whenever you're around.
Ooh, hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. So glad you're with us today. I've got Uncle Milty, of course, here on a Tuesday. It is Tuesday, right? Tuesday.
Yep, all day.
And we also have a lot of great info in this hour locally, and then coming up to as far as digital banking. Wow. Lots of proof coming out after we've been talking about this for 3 weeks. So I welcome you back. Make sure you get over to Dr. Diet. They're doing FaceTime visits. You can actually meet with them over your phone, and they offer just a slew of services over there. 628 Diet is the phone number. I'm now calling it the house arrest 20. If you're gaining the house arrest 20, which means you're eating a lot of Doritos and you're going through all the junk food, and that's what we do when we're home, we just eat a lot. Make sure that you're getting on top of it right now before it becomes the house arrest 30. So make sure that you're losing that weight and getting on top of your health right now. They also have great classes on how to use food storage, how to do all this. There's so many wonderful things that you can learn right now. Instead of just watching, you know, the next Netflix series, this is a great time to kind of, maybe learn some new skills. I'm going to go with that because I've always believed in preparedness. And I think that that we as a society really, I think this was a wake up call as everybody's running for TP. This is a huge wake up call. And this is why I invited Professor Ron Harris on. And by the way, hat tip to Ken. Thank you. And I have so many questions for you, Ron, because you're at BYU and professor of geology and you're looking at all of these things and thinking, you know, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but it's do people really know what to do? And we even have some fault lines down here in southern Utah. Did you want to address that? Did you want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, they're not just in southern Utah. They go right through the middle of St. George.
Yeah.
And Washington.
Yeah.
I mean,
scary.
And then the biggest fault, the Hurricane Fault, is not very far to the east. And these are faults which we know very little about, but we do know that they're storing energy right now. So each fault zone has kind of an earthquake cycle, right? So after you have a big event along it, then the likelihood of having another big event is very rare because you need time to store the tectonic energy that it's going to take for it to release into another event. And those fault zones, as far as we know, you know, haven't had a major event for a long time, which means that they're in their almost complete cycle, ready to go.
That's not comforting. Okay.
So what people should do is not get afraid, but they should just act and say, okay, what do I need to do to get ready?
Okay.
Well, you need to secure the stuff that's in your home and in your office and in other places where falling objects can cause damage. And because it's not the earthquakes that kill people, it's the falling objects that kill people. And we can do something about that.
Okay. I think that's fantastic advice, by the way, because I don't think people really think about the entertainment center that's falling down or the TV that's going to fall on them, or because this stuff, like you said, it's not a slow crawl. It's flying in an earthquake. And we don't really think about that. Okay.
No.
It's good advice. So what do we do when the earthquake is going on? What would be your advice? Because I know we've all heard stand in a doorway and get in the tub and all of these things. What would you tell somebody to do when it starts shaking?
No, you can't do that kind of thing because for two reasons. A magnitude 7, which is the major event which we're afraid of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is so large that you can't even, if you try to get up and run, you're going to fall. And that's why we try to tell everyone the best thing to do as soon as you feel the ground shaking is to duck, cover, hold on. If you're in your bed, roll off your bed to the floor, right? And
mm-hmm.
and be as low as possible and put your hands over your head to protect your head and neck. And when the shaking stops, then you need to get up and evacuate immediately before a big aftershock comes and causes more damage.
Okay. And then, so what?
And so all these other things have been discredited by the Red Cross, the door jam, the mm-hmm. triangle of life, I've never heard the bathtub one, but the bathtub, whatever, right?
Right.
Those are all discredited because what if you have your whole family there? How's your whole family going to go to the door jam?
Yeah, you're right.
How is your whole family going to go to the bathtub?
That's
right.
True.
I mean,
yeah.
it's nuts to think about that's what you should do.
Okay. And then what?
You don't want your kids running around. You want your kids ducking and covering and hold on. So you need to do earthquake drills every month at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And going outside, trying to go outside. I mean, you know, it's just I think people get so freaked out. What's the first response they have? What do you find?
Right.
What's their first response? They want to. They want to.
The first response is to run.
Ah.
It's everybody's first response is to run. Because they don't know what's going on. And that's why we need earthquake drills to try to drill that out.
Okay.
The first thing we should do is duck cover.
Okay.
Right? And then protect our heads. And if we're close to the closest we can get to the ground,
mm-hmm.
more we're going to be protected because there's going to be tables and chairs and beds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If something falls, it'll fall on the bed and not hit us.
Okay.
But we should secure those things so we don't need to worry about them falling off.
Okay. What about a two-story house, one-story house? You're living in a basement. What is there anything different about, because I'm sure a lot of people would fear the collapse of the levels of a home. So what do you say there?
Well, it depends on the resonant frequency of the earthquake as to whether you have more damage in 2 to 3 to 4 story buildings versus single story buildings. Mm-hmm. And those things are almost impossible to predict before the earthquake. It depends on where the earthquake's at, which mm-hmm. way, or what you're built upon. And since we haven't had any big earthquakes since people have lived here, mm-hmm. right, we don't really know how the ground's going to respond.
Okay, so then, what happens right after? Right after, are you going to turn off gas? Are you going to? I mean, are there certain locations you need to worry about within the house?
Yeah, the best thing about the gas is if you don't smell any gas, right, mm-hmm. it's probably better not to turn it off. If it's a huge earthquake that shakes for minutes, right, mm-hmm. magnitude 7, and there's damage everywhere, then the gas company's probably going to want you to turn off your gas and off your water, right?
Okay.
The gas is a problem because the gas company has to come back and turn it on.
I see.
You can't turn it back on. And so that's why I would wait until you saw if you smell any gas. If you smell gas, go turn it off.
Okay. All right. And I know, you know, water breaking, pipes breaking, all of these. Let's say it's a really devastating earthquake. And I mean devastating. I mean, it's leveling houses. And where do you go? What do you do right after the shaking?
Well, this is the thing that we need to have plans for that. We need to think. Mm-hmm. For example, in northern Utah, if it's something like that happens in January or February, there's going to be a lot of problems because there won't be any heat, right? Mm-hmm. We need to have contingency plans for this, especially in places where it could happen at any moment, and it will be a major disaster.
Okay.
But how much of a disaster it'll be depends on the decisions we make now, just like with the COVID virus, the decisions we make before it happens.
I see.
And the costs are minimal compared to the cost of not doing anything.
Okay. I know that a lot of people, I get a lot of people that send me earthquake activity, and they're pretty freaked out by it. In fact, they think that because they're seeing a lot of low-lying activity, and they're saying to me, you know, oh, no, this is more than we've seen in years. What's your take on that? Have we seen an uptick and what does it mean to see an uptick in the low-level, sort of lower-class, you know, earth movement that you're probably not going to feel as an earthquake?
Yeah, so we are one reason we're getting what seems to be more earthquakes is because we have more listening devices.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
We have more ears around. That's a seismograph. It's essentially a microphone you stick into the ground and it records. And we have a lot more of those. But in general, there is not an increase in earthquake activity over the last 50 years, which is when we have enough seismometers to really check for that. Mm-hmm. And so there's not an increase in earthquakes, but there is an increase in earthquake disasters. And that's because more people are in harm's way from earthquakes. More people are moving. Think of how much the Wasatch Front and St. George have increased in population.
Yeah.
Since the last earthquakes. I mean, the last one in St. George was in 1992, magnitude 5.8. And, you know, the one in Magnon that we had last week, those are the only two that we've had in these population centers. Mm. But the last time we had a big one on the Wasatch Front was 300 to 400 years ago. Well, there might have been a few teepees that toppled over, but that's not going to kill anybody, right?
You're right.
But now think of what would happen.
Right.
There's going to be thousands, tens of thousands of people, depending on how much we prepare in advance, that will die.
Yeah. Well, some words of wisdom from you is get a plan in order, know how to contact each other, right? And maybe have a, you know, have your 72-hour kit ready if you had to leave if there's a ton of damage, and maybe have a gathering place that you gather if you're separated.
I would for after the event, the cell phones aren't going to work, mm-hmm. right? Because they're probably going to be damaged, but even if they're not, there's going to be so many calls that will overwhelm the system.
Okay.
And so you can't rely on your cell phone to communicate, right?
Right.
So you need to really have a plan in place, like what if your kids are at school? What are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
They need to know that, right?
Okay. Sure.
And what if you're at work and your home is on the other side of town? No, you're not going to be able to just get in your car and drive over there.
Yeah.
There's going to be power lines down on the road. There's going to be, some of the roads will be broken up, trees, all kinds of things, right? You're going to have to walk. And these are the kind of things that people need to say, okay, what is our plan for this?
Yeah, this is when you keep a good pair of nice hiking shoes right under your bed, just in case there's an emergency where you would have to do some walking.
The only problem that I have about us talking about what happens after the event is because few, if any, people ever die after the event.
I see. It's during.
The people die by what happens during the event, by us not taking care of the possible falling objects that we're going to be in harm's way.
What if you're in a car?
And so that's why in a car, you just pull over to the side and wait till the shaking stops, right?
Okay.
And, you know, be glad that you were not underneath an overpass or like on the Nemitz Highway in San Francisco that collapsed.
Right.
And then you deal with, okay, what do we do now?
Right.
You're probably not going to be able to keep driving.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was driving on a highway in Southern California during the Sylmar earthquake, and I thought I had a blowout.
Oh.
And I was having trouble steering because I had this blowout.
Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't a blowout.
No. I mean, you see the pictures of the freeway, and you get a little nervous thinking you'd be on a major freeway during that time, too.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially ISIS.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I want to be
in the construction zone.
Jeez, I can't even imagine.
I can't either.
So you've got YouTube videos, right, Ron? Sure, Ron Harris from BYU, and make sure that you're checking these out, because I know you'd have a lot of good info on those too. So
right,
I love that.
And they focus on what to do before the event. That's what.
That's what's going to save lives before. The preparedness.
Yeah, and
factor.
So the website is, or the YouTube is QuakeBusters, one word.
Okay.
Space Team.
Team, okay.
QuakeBusters Space Team, yep. And you go there and it'll give you what supplies you need, what you need to do. If you've ever hung up.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
To play How Firm a Foundation. Give me a break. I had to. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I'm so glad all of you can have a great sense of humor with me. And I thank Professor Ron Harris for being here. Make sure you get over to Inside Out Hyperbarics. They're doing some fantastic work over there, and they really can help you with your health. If you're worried about your health or you're high risk, this is the place to go. My gosh, strengthen up your immune system with pure oxygen to the cells. This is a fantastic thing that you can do right now. And they've got so many specials going on and so many different things going on over there. Inside Out Hyperbarics with an S at .com, and you can email them insideouthyperbarics@gmail.com. What a wonderful sponsor of the show they are, and I'm really proud to know those guys. They really are great people, know what they're doing. I've got Uncle Milty, and I've got Professor Ron Harris from BYU, and he's going to give out the website. Why don't you give out the website again, because I have a couple questions for you, but I really want people to understand how to find you and information.
Yeah, so we put some videos on YouTube that teach you how to secure non-structural hazards in your home, which are the most dangerous things that we have to worry about.
And
it's so easy to fix.
And Ron, so, right now, while everybody's home, this is just a great time. You got all the world, it's all this time on your hands, and this is probably just the most opportune moment to do this, right?
Yeah, it really is.
All right.
It really is. So you go to QuakeBusters, which is one word, space, team.
Okay.
And if you go there, you'll find four videos, short ones, that tell you how to secure different things within your home, including your china cabinet, including your grandmother clock, so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff. I essentially went through my home and did it and took a video of it. As I did it, it took me 2 hours and cost me $30.
Nice. Perfect. I love this. Okay. So there's the website. Now, what is a foreshock? Because we just had this 5.7. And does that mean that that's the looming prediction of something bigger coming? And what does that window look like? I mean, in previous earthquakes, did they have a foreshock like that? And then what was the window? A week, a month? What describe that.
Right, so let me tell you about two recent. In 1915, we had a magnitude 5.7
mm-hmm.
In Provo.
Okay.
Right? It damaged the tabernacle. And in 1992, we had mm-hmm. a magnitude 5.8 in Washington.
Okay.
In Washington, near St. George, right?
All right.
Which caused a landslide that closed the road to Zion Park and damaged a bunch of homes and stuff, right? Now, neither of those, we would say, were a foreshock to a bigger event, because the bigger event didn't happen after those. But in California last year, we had a smaller event, which was then, I think, just a couple days later, followed by a major event, 7.2 or
so. So it can be a precursor.
Right? And so you don't know when the earthquake happens, if it's a foreshock or not. And it could be several months before the big event.
Okay.
And so what I'm telling everybody is just to act like it is a foreshock, and use it as, you know, the motivation to do what we should have done a long time ago. And that is secure the non-structural hazards that are all around us in our office, in our home.
Okay. And then what do you do if you're in a bedroom, a bathroom, and all of a sudden the shaking starts, your first instinct is to drop to the floor. What would you tell people to do in those cases, a bedroom?
Well, most people's first instinct is to run.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And that's the worst thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you need to do is drop, cover, and hold on, no matter where you are, and wait till the shaking stops.
Okay.
And then evacuate.
Okay.
And then start looking for your family. Don't, I mean, everybody has to do this wherever they are, right? The worst thing you can do is panic and start to run somewhere, because that puts you in harm's way more than anything else you could possibly do.
Okay.
In fact, the only people who were hurt during the earthquake last week were people who started to run and slipped and broke a leg or ran into something, right?
Okay.
Which is a great example as to why that's not the wise thing to do.
Okay. And
but it's you know, our nature to panic, and that's why earthquake drills and education is so important for surviving an earthquake.
Excellent. And I just a final question for you too. You know, just because a lot of people out there, you know, this is how we're wired. We want to know. Is it coming? And I know you can't answer that. Nobody can. But would you be surprised if we didn't have one? I mean, would that shock you as far as if we didn't? Are we kind of set up in a situation where there's a finality of knowing that this will happen?
Yes, it will happen. We've measured the rate in which the valley is being stretched off of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
We can measure that with high resolution GPS, and it's still doing it. I mean, all that energy, right? It's like a spring. You pull on it, you keep pulling on it, and what the spring is attached to eventually is going to move, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been pulling on it for so long that there's so much energy involved. It's already stored there that the question is not when it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The question is how big and where. We know how big and where.
Okay.
Right? And that should be enough information for people to act on.
Does it, the big one happening up north, does it, now I'm just, because I'm, this is not my wheelhouse. I have no idea. Does it then tend to cause one down here? I mean, obviously everything's kind of interconnected. So would we be looking at something here with a big one up there? Naturally.
No, I think in St. George, you would be far enough away that the energy that's released from a big earthquake in northern Utah is not going to bleed all that way down, but it will affect the other fault segments in northern Utah.
Okay.
It will definitely change the stress field in northern Utah and cause some faults to rupture before they were our full cycle.
Okay.
And other faults who are just about ready to go, it will release the stress for them. So, but that stress field change, I don't think will reach all the way down into the southern part of the state.
Okay. Because I do. I think there's a sense
of... Who knows?
Well...
Who knows? I mean, you know, it just hasn't happened, so we don't have a lot of baseline data to go on.
That's true. And there's kind of a sense of complacency because they've been saying that for, you know, 20 years, but then it doesn't happen, just like California. And then you get into lulled in sort of a, I don't think it'll happen. I mean, really, but it will. It will. It's just a matter of when. All right. The website, one more time, Ron.
So the website is QuakeBusters, one word, space, team, T-E-A-M. And there's videos there that you can go to. And then I have a nonprofit organization called In Harm's Way, which gives you some more information, and that's inharmswayhelp.org.
Excellent. Professor of Geology, BYU, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ron.
Thank you, Kate.
Yeah, really, really appreciate it. Milty. I really appreciate you, Uncle Milty.
Okay.
Yes, I really appreciate you, Ron. That was great info, and I hope people look at your stuff. And while you're at home right now, this is a great time to do it. So might as well do it now.
It is.
So thank you so much.
Exactly.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah,
really appreciate you. You bet.
Okay.
Ron Harris, Professor Ron Harris, and it's great. I mean, it's something to think about. Holy cow!
I didn't know there was any such of a thing as an earthquake. Alarm.
Yeah, me neither.
I had no idea.
I thought the earthquake was the alarm.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, well, you know what? It's great info. I really appreciate Ron for coming on and taking the time to do that. There's a couple of things going on right now I want you to be really, really aware of. And there was a shift in the reporting of COVID-19. And it was a really strange shift to me because what they started doing was handing out the numbers from the Southwest Utah Health Department. And the Southwest Utah Health, this is five county count. This isn't like Washington County only. And I wanted to let people know that because... Do I dare say what's really on my mind?
Five county count.
Yeah, I don't like that. I actually look at that as a little bit of trickery. I don't like that because I feel like we are banking on some numbers to then take and get federal funds so that we can dole those out to the people. And our next hour is going to be really enlightening on why you might want to rethink these funding bills. Because right now, I feel like there's a fake left-right paradigm fight going on over these bills. And for those of you that say the Dems are just standing in the way of getting our money, you're not going to like what I have to say coming up in the next hour. Because it's not a left-right. They're making it a left-right thing. It is not a left-right thing. And this money that all the counties, 29 counties, you know, Mike Lee was saying, you know, 29 counties are getting this money.
Yeah,
it's for business, right? For small business. You guys, this is not a great thing at all. And I really want to cover that. And I don't like the five, now it's five counties. And so people actually think that the cases are here. And by the way, just through the grapevine, you know, I'm actually wondering if the case here in Washington County is actually from here.
I heard a rumor that it's not.
Yeah, that it's out of state.
Yep.
Yep. And the person was brought here. So you know what? I don't like trickery. I don't like that. I don't know if you don't like that either, but I don't like it. I don't like it.
But the report on that case changed today.
Really?
Today, it didn't say a case here. It said a case diagnosed here. The article in today's paper, they changed it a little bit.
Interesting, okay.
They didn't want to be called outright liars.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're performing trickery, it's, you know, it can get a little bothersome when people are on to you. So leadership in St. George, I'm just kind of ashamed of you guys doing this and going to this Southwest five county rigmarole to try and pass it off like COVID's hitting us like no other and we need to go get some money. I don't like that at all. And I just have to call you out on that a little bit because I hope the people here in this county don't like that either because I hope they feel like they're getting, you know, I don't know, lied to. Is that too strong? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Make it quick.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
I just wanted to bring this up, too.
Uh-huh.
My mom's neighbor went to go pick up groceries for her.
Mm-hmm.
And when she put the stuff on the counter, she bought three of some items and stuff like that. And the checker said, well, I won't report you because you're buying more than two items. And she said, well, I'm buying these for my neighbor and me. And she says, well, next time you have to separate them on the belt because they're going to start cracking down on hoarding. And in some areas, they're not even taking cash anymore.
So yeah,
they can track
I noticed
you
that.
Your credit cards.
I noticed
so that
this.
Might be another issue to bring
well,
up.
Well, we'll be talking about that tomorrow. St. George Golf. You can't use cash. I'm like St. George City, you know, for the golf course.
Oh,
I
wow.
thought, what? And a lot of the businesses around here, not a lot, but there's a few businesses I've noticed are not taking cash, you know, dirty cash. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yep.
So thank
yep,
you.
They want to track us next.
Oh, yes, they do. Appreciate that. Thank you for the heads up.
Now, we talk about people's mentality all the time. Imagine the mentality of a grocery checker who can say, I'm not going to turn you in this time.
Oh, my gosh.
What is that mentality?
Do we live in America?
That's not an American way.
Oh, my gosh,
that's the kind of thing you hear in Russia.
Yeah.
In the Ukraine, in China.
Yeah, that's not.
I'm going to turn you in.
Okay.
I'm going to turn you in to the government.
You guys, this is so unbelievable right now. I can't. When I wanted to have a backyard barbecue with my own friends and family, and people were telling me I was spewing agenda, and you know, there were some people up north. I know Ben McClintock up north, you know, went out to a restaurant, ate outside, and people were on his page telling him to burn in hell, and they hope that he would burn for that.
Yeah.
You can go outside and take a walk. You just can't eat outside, I guess, is the message. That's how lunatic these people are, you guys. Well, that's what we're up against. And the schools, a soft closure. That memo came out today. A soft closure until May 1st. And I went, soft? They just, you know, and I don't care because I'm actually happy that it's not in session, but I'm one of those. But it was funny because we're getting shelter in place, a soft, you know, thing. No, I'm sorry. Healthy people is who you quarantine. No, I mean, sorry. Sick people is who you quarantine. Healthy people, it's called a lockdown, people.
this is
insane.
I just hope they get all the kids fed because I've heard that 50% of the students in southern Utah will die.
Yeah, apparently.
If the schools are closed down and they can't give them their three meals
a
day.
Well, there was a new memo that came out that said you can be any kid now. You can be anybody under the age of 18. And if I say anything about this, then I must hate children, don't want them to eat. That's not the point. The point is that people are going, it's a gift from heaven. You get to go get a lunch today and you don't even have to be in the school district. You can be homeschooled. You guys, we're all paying for it. I mean, it's not like that went away. And under this guise of you can go get a free lunch because it's free. Who are we?
Yeah.
I thought we were Americans, you guys.
Can I pass for 18?
Oh, my gosh. What are we teaching our kids? What are we teaching them?
Yeah. We're teaching them
disturbing.
That everything the government takes care
yeah.
of.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great socialism lesson. Be right back. A lot of great info coming up. You're not going to want to miss this show today. I got a lot of stuff. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Quality 20.